And we're back with the giant robot camera arm here at Build in the Moscone Center. We're chilling. I'm watching the robot arm. I'm digging it. It's very cool. We're here on Channel 9. You can see all the action behind us here. And I'm sitting with Keenan Newton. He's a product marketing director for manager for developers for SharePoint.
Yes, that's correct.
The dreaded SharePoint.
It's not totally dreaded, but it's had its challenges.
Let me tell you about my SharePoint problem, and we'll solve it here today, because what I understand is that what I think of as SharePoint is not the SharePoint that's happening today. Because I have a SharePoint solution that I have to use at Microsoft, and it's the thing where I manage conferences. So I manage the speakers and the folks that are going to talk about Azure and ASP.NET. And you know, it worked great. It's a computer under some guy's desk. I think it's under Bill's desk in Building 18.
Okay.
And that's where we manage all this stuff. And it was SharePoint 2005. It was really the advanced stuff at the time. And then I blinked, and then 8 years went by. You know, we didn't really realize it. But here's the thing. I need that solution. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that machine to work. But now I feel like, well, everyone else is in the cloud, and I have this machine under his desk. Am I stuck?
Well, you're not stuck. So, you know, with basically from SharePoint 2007 above, we really supported, you know, full trust solutions. It's been the mainstay for building customizations for SharePoint.
Right.
And they've been really powerful solutions because you could have your code running right within the SharePoint, basically the application domain that SharePoint is running within. So you can change the behavior of SharePoint. Mm-hmm. You can add new features and customization to SharePoint. You can do custom branding, create specific web parts. And all this is really, really powerful. But it has, you know, some dangers associated with it.
Right.
And kind of to attest to, you're afraid to touch it. You're afraid
to touch it. That's because, a very well said. I'm afraid to touch it.
Because you're afraid if you make a change that you're going to somehow break your
customization. I don't want to destabilize it, right? I have a solution that is working.
Exactly.
And I would love it if it was just on the latest version of SharePoint running in the cloud. I would like SharePoint as a service just running for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So with SharePoint 2013, we've introduced this cloud app model. And what this cloud app model is all about is about isolating your customizations from the SharePoint platform. So SharePoint is effectively treated as a service, but it's also treated as a surface for your apps.
Mm.
So in much the way that you would create like a web part in SharePoint 2007 or 2010, mm-hmm. where you had that like that customization right there on that page, now you could create an app part, which is basically an iframe that sits within that page, and that iframe is a website that's being hosted independently of your SharePoint server.
Okay.
Then we use technologies like REST, OAuth, HTML, JavaScript, and basically whatever hosting platform that you're running with, and we use those technologies to be able to interact with the SharePoint and treat it as a service. So you need to pull in some documents or some list data or find out information about users or news feeds. You just make those REST API calls into SharePoint from your web application and then surface it within your app for SharePoint.
Okay, so in my experience, in SharePoint, there's the kind of go in and use the basic customization lists and things like that and go and make kind of a open structured schematics of data.
Yep.
And then that all becomes part of this SharePoint model of lists, right?
Yep.
And then what version of SharePoint introduced the idea of OData? Where I could query these lists and talk to them in a kind of a structured way?
Well, what 2013 is we've embraced OData with basically this cloud app model. It's all about open web standards. So
okay.
We're actually returning data in the OData format from the REST APIs.
Ah.
So if you're, let's say you're a PHP house, and you have a bunch of web developers that are out there, and they're looking to say, hey, we love to do SharePoint development, but we don't understand the SharePoint-isms. We don't understand what a context is. We don't get that. But we do get REST.
Right.
We do get OData. We understand OAuth, because that's what we do at Data.
Because that's the open web,
that's
right?
The open
so when
web.
We say open web, we're talking about not learn the secret SharePointism.
Right.
I'm just like, I know that I want to authenticate.
Yep.
I have libraries for OpenAuth.
Yep.
I have libraries to pull from REST.
Yep.
Don't make me learn the SharePoint library.
Exactly. The only thing you do have to learn is what the SharePoint services are, like the REST endpoints.
Yeah, like where to go to get the data.
Right. And just understand like the exact structure that the data comes back via OData. But beyond that, that's really all you really need to know about SharePoint itself.
Okay.
You don't need to be a SharePoint developer to be able to write apps for SharePoint more. And that's one of the powerful things. That, you know, right now we assume we have somewhere between 1 million to 700,000 SharePoint developers out there.
Wow.
in reality, now every single web developer is a SharePoint developer. So how many millions of web developers that are out there in the industry today, all these folks are now web developers. And it doesn't matter what, you don't have to be a .NET developer or a Microsoft developer.
Yeah.
As I said, you can be a PHP developer or Ruby on Rails and use great things like Windows Azure and or whatever cloud service you want, or do it on-prem, mm-hmm. if it makes sense for you to do it on-prem, and host your apps any way you want to.
You know, it's funny that you say that the idea that you don't have to be a SharePoint developer or identify as a SharePoint developer. I was talking to these, this seems to be more than just a SharePoint thing, it's like an Office thing, and I guess SharePoint's part of the Office family, kind of, isn't it?
Yep.
I was talking to these guys at a place called Lucidchart, and they make like a Visio in the web. It's all SVG, and I think they're Python and Clojure. It's a big JavaScript open web. They haven't got a copy of Visual Studio in the house.
Yep.
Okay? And then Office comes and says, hey, we'd love it if you could be in the Office store as a web solution so that I could go and say, and I have existing Lucid charts. I use them for networking diagrams and things like that. But if I were going to, in my mind, if I were going to get my Lucid chart into a Word document, I take a screenshot.
Right.
He shows me that I can go and say Office Web Store, sign into my existing account, say insert chart, and it drops in. And yep. Here's the part that freaks me out. He says Microsoft comes to him and says, we want to plug you in. And he's like, you know, I don't want to learn COM. I don't want to install Visual Studio. They show him that it's, in fact, all RESTful web services. He still, to this day, has not installed a copy of Visual Studio, but has a complete integrated solution, and he's in the web store. All yep. with open web technologies.
Absolutely. And that's the great part about it is that, you know, he's able to go and build that. He can use Eclipse as the IDE.
Yeah,
he can use Notepad, or if you want to use a DOS text writer.
Sublime, whatever.
It doesn't matter. And we don't have anything proprietary about it. So we have these things called an app manifest.
Okay.
It's just an XML document that tells SharePoint or Office mm-hmm. a little bit about that app. Mm-hmm. So in the case of... you're seeing where you're trying to embed in Word, you use an app for Office. It's just an XML file that says, you know, what type of Office clients can it run in? So can it run in Project, Office, PowerPoint, Excel?
So that model, he explained to me how to embed something in Office. That's something that's across the family of apps.
So I can build this one app that basically embeds that chart, mm-hmm. and I build it once, and it'll work with Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Project. It'll go ahead and work with those with, basically, I don't have to write it multiple times. I don't mm-hmm. have to write, because before with VSTO and COM, I'd have to write it for each and every single platform.
Right, right.
Now I get to write it just once.
Okay.
And with that one set of code, I can go ahead and support multiple platforms. But in your scenario, he can very easily use Eclipse to do the development. He can write with, he can interact with if there's any data in SharePoint or even some other service that's in the cloud, like if it's coming from Bing or some Azure data server. So whatever that may be,
sure.
He can go ahead and pull that data into this chart and then have a button on there that says create chart, and it goes ahead and takes that chart and pops that right into that Word document or into Excel or into PowerPoint or into a project file.
Now, in the past, I seem to remember that SharePoint was an ASP.NET web forms thing, and I had to go and say new SharePoint project,
yep.
and it was a whole other world that I had to yep. learn. And I always had people saying, well, I like MVC,
yep.
or I like Node.js.
Yep.
And in the past, I always said, well, I think it's just web forms.
Yep.
And you're pretty much stuck if you don't do web forms.
Yeah, and there are people that have been trying to be very creative out there to try to kind of slide around the whole web forms. But in reality, SharePoint development in the past has all been about web forms. And
right.
that's pretty much been about it. With this new app model, because you're hosting the app any way you want on your platform using the IDE that you want, and since your code is not running within the context of SharePoint, it is effectively just a web application that is using SharePoint as a service. You can write that any way you want. So you want to do MVC? Great. You want to do MVVM? Great. You want to stick to web forms? More power to it. You want to use that? You want to use jQuery or KnockoutJS or whatever libraries that are available
right.
to you? Go ahead and do those. You don't have to worry about how that's going to affect the SharePoint environment.
Okay. So let me poke at you a little bit because I'm going to make sure I understand it. Well, then, is this just an iframe? I mean, because that's not really cool. That's not integration, right? It's just I've got, hey, it's SharePoint, and then I've got an iframe. Where's the integration? What kind of interaction is there that makes this more than just a frame around my app?
So the user experience, the web page itself that you see, is an iframe.
Sure. I mean,
that no doubt is an iframe that appears within the SharePoint page. But what makes it different is that I can actually use the SharePoint REST endpoints and pull data, documents, and libraries and that content into my app and then surface that onto that web page, that app part that's shown up in within SharePoint itself.
Okay.
So my content isn't really being done so much on the front end. It's being done on the back end within the app itself, which gives you a lot greater capability. For instance, with SharePoint 2010, you can have up to 20 web front end servers. So basically, I could scale my solution within my SharePoint farm up to 20 servers. Mm. And that was it. If I had some that dealt with a lot of number crunching,
yeah.
I had to get really, really creative.
I'm thinking 20 is not going to be enough at a Fortune 500 company.
Exactly. But for surfacing just SharePoint, it's fine. But when you start dealing with start creating like really heavy duty customizations and big number crunching, it becomes a performance issue over time.
Right.
Now, if I go ahead and be able to isolate that application, host it in my own web server, and I can go ahead and scale that, throw an F5 in front of it, and scale it however I need to. I can use Windows Azure and scale mm-hmm. out in Windows Azure. And I have the full flexibility and power of what basically web developers have been doing all this time. Now I can bring that into my SharePoint customizations. And the same thing applies for Office as well. Mm-hmm. Apps for Office, the only thing that's a little bit different for Apps for Office is we actually... It is an iframe, but we actually have a set of JavaScript APIs that allow you to, within the client, to interact with Office itself.
Oh, really?
So you can actually embed tables. You can go ahead and select data and insert data into the document itself.
Yeah, this gentleman I was talking to was like, it was just that he was given a JavaScript object model, and he interacted with it, and then stuff just magically happened. He was totally blown away.
Yep.
So... you know, I teased you a little bit at the beginning in the opening about the much maligned SharePoint. I think that there was just a perception that I have to install and manage this big thing.
Yep.
And now I have to handle the psychic weight of this SharePoint thing under my desk, which I have. I have this weight on my head. Is Office 365 gives me SharePoint in the cloud?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's
when I sign up, I get SharePoint automatically.
You sign up, you get SharePoint. You go right now, sign up, you get a trial tenancy of Office 365. It's good for 30 days. You can start developing apps right away.
Okay.
So you can basically hit the ground running in roughly about 15 minutes or so once the SharePoint site spins itself up
mm-hmm.
For the first time, which is just a one-time hit. And you're good to go, and you're developing SharePoint. And what's even better is there's actually an app for SharePoint, which is a developer environment for writing apps for SharePoint and apps for Office.
Mm.
So there's an app for writing apps. It's called NAPA, the NAPA Office 365 Developer Tools.
NAPA.
And it's basically a browser-based IDE.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the full capabilities of like you find in Visual Studio or Clips or anything like that. But
sure.
It has IntelliSense. It has... coloring of the syntax. You have all those capabilities right there, and you click a button, and poof, you're automatically running it within SharePoint. You click another button, you can publish it, so mm-hmm. you can publish it into the store. Or if you have Visual Studio, and you said, hey, I want to take this app and just start developing Visual Studio, hit that, and it'll go ahead and move all the code automatically into Visual Studio. There's also abilities to share with NAPA, so I can go ahead and share that with, I can put, like, maybe I create this cool little weather app, and I go ahead and take... the link, I can create a link for it, like a short link,
sure.
and put it on my blog, and I can go and share that app with others so they can take a look at the code, so you can, you know, it kind of brings developer, kind of makes it a little more social in a way, right? So I can go ahead and share that.
So it's
others.
A Kickstarter, it jumpstarts my app,
yep.
I can keep it all in the cloud, but if I want to bring it down and then take it somewhere that NAPA couldn't take it,
yep.
Visual Studio, I do whatever I want to at that
yep.
point.
Absolutely.
And then when I deploy it, what am I deploying? Am I deploying a zip file with my app in it, or am I deploying it to a website in Azure? What's the difference between deploying it into SharePoint versus deploying it somewhere and then it runs in SharePoint?
Well, I'll start with NAPA. So NAPA is designed to create what we call SharePoint hosted apps.
Mm-hmm.
And what that simply means is that SharePoint is actually hosting the HTML and JavaScript. There's no server-side code that's running. It's just HTML and JavaScript that's actually stored in SharePoint for you. So you can think of SharePoint as kind of like the file hosting location for your
okay.
app. So when you go ahead and deploy it into NAPA, it basically creates this app, what we call an app package, which is extension with an APP file. It's just a zip file, is all
sure.
it is.
Everything's a zip file.
So you can just open it up, and it'll go ahead and put the manifest file in there, and then put the HTML and JavaScript files associated with that app, and deploy that into SharePoint. SharePoint then goes and say, oh, look, this is an APP file. I know how to install
and
this.
It unfolds and then it somewhere it just, into SharePoint.
It just unfolds it, exactly.
Okay.
So that's available. Then there's another type, what we call like a cloud-hosted app. And this is basically where I have a SharePoint app, but it mostly will just contain SharePoint artifacts, like maybe it'll contain a definition for a list,
yep.
or It'll contain like a definition for a content type, maybe a couple
most
pages.
Most of my stuff are lists.
Right. And then another project will then be the web project that's associated with it.
Okay.
Remember I mentioned that that manifest file has that URL to where that project, to where that web location is, where your web app is hosted?
Right.
Well, that web project is just any other IIS, Windows, Azure, whatever you want it to be.
And it can be anywhere? It doesn't have to be on the same server?
It can be anywhere.
And how does it know it's me? How does how do I get automatically logged in?
We use OAuth. OAuth 2.0.
Okay.
So basically when you go ahead and install an app, when you install the app, you're asked to trust the app itself, so it actually trusts the app. So when you go ahead and when you go ahead and access the app itself,
right,
it has your basically your credentials associated with it that just allows you to identify like who you are. And then SharePoint then defines, okay, based on who this person is, this app has these specific specific permissions through OAuth.
So it's like Facebook. I can say, yes, you can see my friends list, but no, you can't talk to them.
Yeah, exactly. So within apps of SharePoint, we have this whole permission space set up. So I can say what lists that you can read or write to.
Okay.
I can say whether you can read or write to the news feeds, get information for the user profile store, interact with search. I can define all these things within my app itself. And then when you go install the app, it'll ask you that list of, you want to do X, Y, and Z. You click yes, then that app has those capabilities to do X, Y, and Z.
Okay. But what if I've got this server and I've got my existing solution, I've got some stuff that I might want to go into SharePoint, but I'm not ready to go to Office 365 yet.
Yep. So the great thing about this cloud app model and what we've done in 2013 is we've just basically made this cloud app model easier to leverage.
Okay.
In reality, you can do this sorts of things in SharePoint 2010. Perfect example, with your custom solution, what you could do is instead of writing the server-side code that talks directly to the, you know, the .NET-based SharePoint APIs,
right,
you can go ahead and create a set of REST endpoints that effectively mimic the REST endpoints that we have in SharePoint 2013.
Oh,
and then you actually would have that pager, that code, hosted somewhere that site hosted somewhere else. Then you simply just create a client web part with an iframe inside of it and do the same thing. Now, you wouldn't get OAuth and those things out of the box, so this would really pretty much work on-premise.
Okay.
But it still allows you to, what you end up writing looks about 98-99% similar to what you would do with the cloud app model.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes time to move to Office 365 or move to SharePoint 2013, it's very easy for you to go ahead and do so. Because it's a lot less of rework. So there are things you can do today to start migrating your solution, even if you're not ready to go to SharePoint 2013.
Okay, so this is about separation of concerns.
Absolutely.
And the jumble of like it's all in one pile of one file talking to the internals of Calm.
Yep.
Tease those apart.
Absolutely.
And have your front end and your view talking to your back end service via REST. And like you just said, if it looks like the existing, you know, mimic the existing one, I'll swap that out and put in the new model.
Yeah, so you would in that scenario, you would end up tossing out the REST APIs that you write once you go to 2013.
Yeah.
But then you just basically point to a slightly different URL within your app and everything, and you might add a couple lines to handle the OAuth, and then you're hitting the ground running.
Okay.
So it's very doable. And you know, just kind of like to what you had said, that, you know, the full trust code, like there's all these things that are always out there that you're just kind of like, man, it's been out there for 20 years. You know, I've been with Microsoft for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this role as a product manager for 4. I was in Microsoft Consulting Services before then, so I was actually implementing stuff.
Yeah.
And before I joined Microsoft, I was actually just a developer. So
sure.
I've seen this spaghetti code that the world is running on spaghetti code. And being able to separate all those concerns, especially in SharePoint development, for some reason, SharePoint development, I see a lot of spaghetti code.
I think people, frankly, are just like, you know, it's a line of business solution, it's text boxes over data, and they're like, let's just get her done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But if you're telling me that I could be a Node person or a Ruby person or an MVC person, and I'm like, you know, I have a vision for this thing, and I want to look at SharePoint as being a series of RESTful services that have data I need.
Yep.
Then that doesn't make SharePoint development quite so, it makes it harder to tease you.
Yeah.
I'm always teasing SharePoint people, but now you're giving me I have no way to tease you now.
You
have
a nicely organized
RESTful service.
I'm sorry, I took that away from
you. You've taken this away from me.
I'm sorry.
Very cool. Okay, so
actually, I'm not. I'm really not.
Do I just go SharePoint.com? Where do I go to find out more about this?
To find out more about the developer platform, you can go to dev.office.com. It tells you everything you need to know about apps for Office and SharePoint.
Okay.
I have a new website that we just put on MSDN at reimaginespdev.com.
Okay.
It's really tailored towards existing SharePoint developers and tells them how to start migrating their solutions. We have a series of videos that we're doing through Channel 9.
Yeah.
And we have a white paper content, so we'll have some sample applications out there that really kind of helps SharePoint developers get into the mindset of this new cloud app model and how they can start migrating their solutions or preparing how to migrate their solutions into the cloud app.
See, this is interesting. You just brought, in conclusion, you kind of brought up an interesting point that for me as a web person who's thinking about RESTful services and knockout and all these kind of things on the client side, you're describing, oh, okay, well, that totally makes sense. SharePoint is a data source that I will then exploit.
Yep.
You've got a lot of people who've been doing kind of legacy SharePoint, they're going to have to start shifting their brains, and we're all going to move more towards a more open web model.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Keenan, thanks for hanging out, dude.
Thank you.
All right.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Channel 9, thanks very much, everybody.